worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
We worship you, Father.
So
give a little praise tonight together. Come on.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Despite what you're going through,
worship you, Father.
Despite what your flesh tells you you're going through, despite what seems to be an evident fact, one thing remains. You have been quickened, friend, and you are more than a conqueror.
Jesus.
In that we rejoice.
Praise you, Father.
No matter what you think you face, you are here.
Jesus.
You are here.
Jesus.
And if you could look in the spirit and look into your heart, Jesus, into yourself with a spiritual microscope or mag, whatever you want to call it, you would see. I would just like for at least a minute or two of my life to be able to look inside of myself,
Jesus,
and to see that golden man. To see the glory of God, Jesus, inside of me and you. See, we just wear this flesh. We just wear it. We kick it to its agendas, its rhetoric. We kick it all to the curb. No matter what we feel, no matter what we think we feel, no matter what makes sense that opposes God's word, we do not live out of that. We live out of that light that lives inside of me and you. You have to grasp that image.
Hallelujah.
If you can grasp that image, what image? Of what is inside of you and what you are spiritually. Your life in Christ would be that much easier. Because my friends, his glory lives inside of you. You are a new creature. If you could see you inside of yourself, you would see a lit candle, a brand new species. You think about that. You close your little eyes. If you could look inside of yourself, all you would see is a golden man. You would see the light of God. You would see his glory. You close your eyes and you picture yourself walking around as light. That's what me and you live out of. That is the image that is being downloaded in me every single day. I'm walking around knowing that I am light with just a layer of flesh on me. And after tonight, I promise you, if you have ears to hear tonight, I'm going to share something with you that is changing my life every day, and it will change yours if you have ears to hear. I've been meditating this for years, and I finally feel comfortable to release this to you. Why? Because it's working in me, helping me understand who I am in him. And who I am is a brand new creature. I'm telling you, come with me tonight on this next hour. Come with me. Lay all thoughts to the side. Everything that makes sense, everything that doesn't make sense, the rhetoric, the persuasive speech of the flesh, lay it to the curb. And tonight, hopefully, you will allow the Holy Spirit to paint a picture in your mind as to what you are inside. If you could see yourself, if you could see yourself right now underneath this flesh, you would see a golden man. You would see the light and the glory of God. That is who we are now, my friends. And I'm telling you, come with me tonight on this journey. Cut your cell phones off. Have an ear to hear. And you will be absolutely blessed. Not because I've received a new revelation. Because it's not mine. What I'm sharing with you is his. He just relayed it to me. But it is changing me. I promise you. If you have ears to hear. If you have ears to hear tonight. If you have ears to hear tonight. What I'm going to tell you tonight. Not many people will. They won't relate to it. They'll think I'm crazy. All I can say is read a chapter more than one time before you try to preach it. You got to read it more than once. And you can't just memorize one verse in a chapter and think you got the whole text. Read it more than once. Of course, you know I'm being sarcastic. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to go through a few portions of Scripture, maybe 1 John chapter 3 a little bit. We're going to comment on Matthew 16 and 17 and Mark 8 and 9 and Luke 9. We're going to comment. I'm going to give you commentary on them, but we're probably going to quote Matthew 5. I promise you, you're going to be blessed tonight. We're going to review a little bit on what I shared Sunday through the Holy Ghost, and I promise you, we're going to have a good time tonight. I promise you that. And I should have got with some people. I'm going to use some comical analogies about friends that have had good things happen to their kids. And I should have got the permission, but they won't mind. Because I'm going to be bragging about my kids. I'm going to be bragging about your kids. And whatever thing I can think about that I can brag on, I'm going to brag to prove a point tonight. Is that okay? Because, well, can I brag on you a little bit? Okay. I can brag on everybody but Renee. I have nothing to brag on him about. So, sorry, Renee. Remember now, before you say, oh, Homer, you're so conceited. I'm not bragging about myself. I'm going to brag about my kids. But I can think about you and your kids. I'm going to brag about your kids just to set up a point. I'm going to start with Marty and Gay first. I know a few years ago we all went to, some of this is comedy. I'm just breaking the ice, and I'm going to crack on myself in a good way. I'm going to crack on Julio and Kathy too about something that happened with them. I'm just going to crack to set a point, really. To set something spiritual in motion. I remember Pastor Bronk when Harry played football for LaBelle. What, Harry, man? I'm real happy because Pastor Bronk said, look, guys, Harry's going to play. And, of course, you don't have to talk me in twice into going to a football game, period. So then a lot of us went. A lot of us went that day. And we sat on the Immokalee side, and we were all cheering for Harry. And I'm sure Marty and Gad, I don't know if they went or not, but I'm sure their heart was going boom, 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 you know, beating. That's my baby out there. That's my baby. Well, that was their baby that jumped off sides two plays in a row. But there were parties saying, oh, that's my baby right there playing football for LaBelle. Yeah, that's him that jumped off sides twice. And then they took him out, right, Harry? And that came from Harry. They're probably saying, this is my beloved Harry in whom I am well pleased. My beloved Harry. Oh, God. Penalty. And we didn't see Harry no more. $6, 4 hot dogs, 2 hamburgers, and a Coke later. I went to go see Harry. Harry was nowhere to be found. Shoulder pads were off. Helmet was off. He was on the sideline like this. Beloved Harry was on the sideline. Julio and Kathy one time at a softball game. I was there watching them. I think it was the last inning, and little Mariah was up to bat. And I say little Mariah because she played against big girls. Now, to Julio and Kathy, I was there. I witnessed everything. Now, little Mariah, they're playing big girls. She hit, to Kathy and Julio, it was like a 400-foot home run. To them, it was a shot from here, from home plate to the lake. Because that's their beloved baby in whom they are well pleased, right? But Mariah did win the game, and it was a clean base hit, but it only went like 7 feet. Remember that, Kathy? But to Julio and Kathy, that was their what? Their beloved baby. And you probably can't take that moment from them too. You won't be able to take it from them. Now, Gade and Marty are probably saying, well, you can take that moment about Harry from us, and you can take that from us. But I mean, you see what I'm saying? Julio, oh, and Julio told me after the game, you saw Mariah? Yeah, Julio, I saw the 400-foot home run, 7-foot shot. But it was a base hit, and they did win the game. So their little beloved Mariah won the game. True story. It was not an error. It was a base hit that went from here to there, but it was a base hit. They were saying, oh, that's my beloved Mariah in whom I am well pleased, right? My buddy Jacob's here. His son had an awesome game in the playoffs against one of the best teams in the nation. About 2 years ago, Jacob, American Heritage, he came in off the bench, hadn't really played all year long, and lit it up. We almost won against one of the best teams in, not the state, but in the nation. They were later going to win back-to-back state titles. America, we were the only team that played them that scored 34 points. That team went on, beat us in the second round, but they went on and put a running clock on every single team in the playoffs. But and I'm sure Jacob was one happy dad. That's my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Jacob Lee came off the bench and he tore it up. Touchdown after touchdown, and we almost beat a premier team that recruits from all over the state of Florida. Private school with a 300-some-pound lineman across the board, D1 quarterback, the second-rated running back in the nation was on that team. One of the elite teams. Guys, I'm adding, that's it, right, Jacob? My facts about American Heritage, I want to make sure nobody thinks I'm lying. But an elite team, and we almost came back and won that game with a quarterback that hadn't played all year long, basically. D'Ernest Johnson, D1 running back, went to USF. We almost won that game. One of the best athletes in the nation, J.C. Jackson, went to Florida, an elite athlete. We almost won the game. And no doubt in my mind, if we would have won that game, we'd have won another state title. And I know Jacob and Candy were happy. That's my beloved Jacob Lee, in whom I am well pleased. My turn now. Now I'm going to be honest with you. Is Julie here, baby? Well, my baby Julie. Now, she used to play lacrosse. And a pretty, I don't brag on everybody else now. It's my turn to brag. I'm not at it. She led her lacrosse. She was like one of the top in Southwest Florida in goals scored in lacrosse. And one time some girl hit my baby from behind. And I wasn't quite sanctified back then when that girl hit my baby. My baby turned around and wanted to beat that girl. But you know what I said when my daughter wanted to beat that girl? That's my beloved Julie, in whom I am well pleased. Get her, baby. You don't let nobody hit you like that. You go. You know who you rep. You better do something. I had asked after the game, what'd you tell her? That's my girl. I was wrong. I wasn't quite sanctified at the time. My little Nathaniel, you look at him, he doesn't look like he can run, but he's got crazy kind of speed to be so skinny and little. And one time he hit 2 home runs in a game, in one game, and it's my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And I was happy. That's my boy. Elijah one time hit a grand slam against one of the best baseball teams in the area, Estero. They went to state that year. Estero, Elijah hit a grand slam. And that was about a 400-foot shot. He just killed it. And I was so excited because the atmosphere was so electric that I wanted everybody to know that was my son. So I acted like I was going to the bathroom. And I didn't have to go to the bathroom. But I wanted everybody to know. I went to the bathroom, didn't even use it, and then came back. Because I wanted everybody to ask me about that home run. Because that was my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen? My beloved David. Crazy Dave. Got a referral in school for taking somebody's lunch. That's my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm just speaking comedy. I think you know where I'm going with this. You can't take those moments. You can't take that moment from me. I'll remember forever that grand slam that my son hit. I'll remember those 2 home runs. And Nathaniel hit another one a couple days later, like almost a 300-foot shot at the age of 12. Awesome shot. You won't take that from me. You won't take from Kathy and Julio what their little girl did. They'll talk about that 500-foot home run for the next 20 years of their life. You won't take that from them. Now, Marty and Gay, a little different. They probably want the moment taken away from them. But I tell you one thing Marty and Gay are proud of. And I'm proud of them boys. I'm proud of them. I saved that for last. Because I was cracking on Harry because he talked to me about that story one day. I'm sure Marty and Gay are extremely proud of their kids, their offspring, that they're up there leading us into the presence of the Almighty God. That's something to be extremely proud about. Amen? So well, saying all that, some of it's comedy, some of it's true. Those are our beloved kids in whom we are well pleased. I've been on a journey on the mountain of transfiguration. Now I'm going to get serious now. All those things happen in our life regarding our offspring, regarding our children. You won't take from Jacob what his son did. It's almost like you wrote a book. Kid hadn't played much all year long, comes off the bench cold, the second round playoff against one of the best teams in the nation, and lights up the scoreboard, and maybe we win that game. Because an elite team, see, you won't take that from him. You won't take Mariah's game winning hit away from Kathy. You won't take it from him. And you'll never take them home runs away from that my boys, because I got the game balls at the house. So you'll never take it from me. It's my beloved kids in whom I'm well pleased. You go to the mountain of transfiguration, which is Matthew 16 and 17, Mark 8 and 9, and Luke 9. And I've been there going, Matthew records it, Mark records it, Luke records it. They all record, but they all add a little extra twist to it. Another little bit more truth to them. Same story. Everything's the same, but they add a little bit more to it. And I've been there probably for the last couple of weeks over and over again. I go through Matthew's recording of it 8, 9, 10 times. Same thing with Mark, Luke, over and over again. And then I go on to the Gospels or whatever. What we have here on the Mountain of Transfiguration is you have Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up on the Mountain of Transfiguration. Luke said he's praying, and they inquire of him, and then it all starts with a prayer, and he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to say, some Elijah, some John the Baptist, some a prophet. He said, but whom say ye that I am? He said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he begins to tell them. Luke records, he begins to teach them. He begins to teach them that he's going to be killed. It's funny how the Word of God says in Luke that he began to teach them that he was going to be killed and on the third day, rise again. And I found that very, I did not look up the word teach in the Greek, but it's incredible to me that he says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed by the elders and the chief priests and on the third day, rise again. He began to teach them that. So all three, they basically record the same thing. Trust me, you're going to be blessed today. Trust me, this is going to help you with your walk with God. I promise you, because it is doing wonders for me. So Christ begins to teach them and to tell them that he's going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners and be killed, and on the third day, he'll rise again. Then he says, I'm paraphrasing, you know why I'm paraphrasing. I can't go line upon line right now, not yet, but I might tomorrow, because you never know the way I'm feeling. Boom, they're going to just explode any minute. That's the way I'm feeling. They've already exploded. The grass is green already, and the sky is blue, my friend. I don't wait for something that's already been done. It's already been done. Where was I before I said it was done? He said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Then we know he said that, and Matthew records it 6 days later. Mark records 6 days later. Luke records 8 days later. They went up into a high mountain. They all record the same thing, but Luke said it was 8 days after. Mark said six. Matthew said six. They all went to a mountain. If I'm not mistaken, Matthew records, he says, there's some stand here that shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's what I believe Matthew said in his recording. I like what Mark said better. He said, there be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Luke said, there's some be standing here that shall not taste of death till they shall see the kingdom of God. All three of them basically said the same thing, but they gave a little extra twist to it. Long story short, Christ is transformed before them. This is not his glorified body. Christ has not died. He is not risen again from the dead. This is not Christ in his glorified body. This is Christ in his humanity. Can you agree with me on that? Okay. Christ in his humanity. The Bible says that he was transfigured before them. I believe Matthew records that his face was as bright or white as the sun. I believe. Give me some grace there. Mark records, I believe, that his raiment was whiter than anything that could ever be whited. I'm paraphrasing. It was extremely white. And his raiment was white. I believe Luke records that his raiment was glistering. All three of them saw something through the raiment of Christ. Now, Romans chapter 6 says, as Christ was raised from the dead Now, what did I say in the beginning? The subject of this was, he said, he began to teach them that Christ would suffer many things, but on the third day, he would be killed, and on the third day, he'd be raised again. Remember that? He began to teach them that. Paul records, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Paul said, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As Christ was raised from the dead by what? By the glory of the Father. Lord, help me teach this, Lord. I want to teach this. May everything that I've meditated, Father, that you showed me, I remember line upon line by your Spirit, Father. By your Spirit, my Lord. And he said to them, began to teach them, the Son of Man must suffer many things by the chief priests and the elders and be killed. And on the third day, he shall rise again. Remember that. Paul records, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Christ was raised from spiritual death by what? The glory, which is his nature, which is that incorruptible seed, which is the life of God, which became our light. Are we in agreement there? For teaching purposes. So as Christ was raised, Christ was born spiritually alive, died spiritually, and was quickened once again by what? By the glory of the Father. Me and you were born spiritually dead. When we said yes to Jesus, we were quickened by the glory of the Father. You with me? Luke records it best. Now, I'm commenting on each three recordings from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I love what Luke records. He said, and they saw his glory. Them being Peter, James, and John on the mountain of transfiguration. The Bible said, and they saw his glory. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in that same glory. Luke said, recorded, that Peter, James, and John saw his glory. We have concluded, and you know, because you've heard pastor's doctrine, you've heard Pastor Dave, you've heard them all, that this was not Christ in his glorified body. It was him in his humanity. Are you with me? Luke records that they saw his glory. Matthew records, he's the only one out of the three that records, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew's the only one that recorded, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Mark said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Luke records, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Matthew records, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, Julio and Kathy, to the day they die, they will remember what little Mariah did that day. And rightly so. Always remember the day when my little boy Nathaniel hit two home runs at the age of 11 or 12. Cranked him out the ballpark. I'll always remember to the day I died that 300 foot, almost 275 that he hit. That's remarkable for a 12-year-old kid. And I always remember Elijah's grand slam. I'll always remember it. Now I got the ball. It was a monster shot. I'll remember. I'll remember David going to jail, going to the lunchroom for taking somebody's lunch money. I'll remember Julie being a very aggressive lacrosse player. I'll do anything to see that moment again. Yeah, she could. And Judy could run, too. I know you might. Judy could run. She could get it. She was a good athlete. And yeah, you can't take that from me. And I know Marty and Gay are extremely proud of their boys, as they should be, as proud of Mavis and proud of all their kids. They're great kids. Mavis is about to get married. I'm sure that she hadn't been out in the streets running around like a crazy woman. She's married. She's settling down, marrying a Christian man. What more could Marty and Gay want than that? That's her beloved daughter in whom they are well pleased. And I'm sure their little ones are going to grow up doing the same exact thing because Marty and Gay raised them right. I'm sure Marty and Gay, Marty doesn't say much. I'm sure inside his heart he's tickled pink that has his boys up there. I don't know where that tickled pink comes from. That's a crazy saying, doesn't it? How can you be tickled pink? Anyway, I'm sure Miss Gay and Marty are extremely proud of their boys. That's their beloved boys in whom they are well pleased. Luke records, I'm almost there. Luke records they saw his glory on the mountain of transfiguration. I was saying Moses was there. And who else? And Elijah. The law and the what? Prophets. Isn't it funny how Moses was there and Elijah the prophet? Who was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets? Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So there they are talking to him about, Luke records, they're talking to Jesus about his resurrection. They're having dialogue. Moses and Elijah and Jesus, Luke records about his resurrection. You with me so far? Is everybody with me on the same page? I know I'm jumping back and forth, but I don't have the Bible. You know. Christ was transfigured before them. He was not in his glorified state. He was in his humanity. And they saw something glistering in him. Glistering. Glistering. Something that could never be as white as it ever was, ever. Now, Peter wrote in 1 Peter about a marvelous light that we've been called to. John wrote about the light, and he used the terminology beloved a lot in his writings. Well, Peter and John were there at the mountain when they beheld Jesus in his transfigured state. They beheld it, and they wrote about it in their epistles. How do you know? Because I've gone through them epistles hundreds of times comparing them to the mountain of transfiguration. That mountain of transfiguration, it changed their life. Peter was later martyred and wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter. John was not martyred, but he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, and the Gospel of John. Paul, which saw the light also after the ascension of Christ, he saw a light also. Those three. You take Paul, you take Simon Peter and John, they wrote most of 90% of the New Testament. Those that saw something that others did not, they wrote about 85-90% of the New Testament. Those were men. James was martyred. The brother of John was martyred according to the book of Acts. He was martyred, so he died for the light. Peter wrote about the light. He called it a marvelous light. And John wrote about the light in 1 John. And used the word word beloved a lot. Now John wrote, and we're about to get to the point. John wrote, see if this sounds familiar to you. He wrote in 1 John chapter 3. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3. And we know. Hold on. Yeah, that's the thing. Pace yourself, Homer. And we know that whatsoever we ask of him, we receive. Because we keep his commandments and what? And do those things that are what? That are what? That are pleasing in his sight. And we know whatsoever we ask, we know that we receive. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Does that sound familiar to you? And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another. This is his commandment. John used the word beloved a lot in his writings. They heard the word beloved from God in the cloud of glory. Listen to this. God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, God, what was it in this human being? Here we go. You ready? What was it in this human being that pleased you about him? John wrote, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, I want to know what's pleasing in the sight of my Father, because I want to do them. Because I'm born of him. And that's our desire, to do what's pleasing to him, because we're born on what we are born of, what pleases him. We're born of his life. His nature is inside of me and you. So here they are on the mountain of transfiguration. They behold a change in the countenance of a man. They see a glory that they both later wrote about. Peter called it, he said, in the spirit of glory and of God, it rests upon you. I think that's 1 Peter chapter 3. He said the glory, what did I just quote? The spirit of glory and of God, it rests upon you. I'm not going to go into the rest of it. But they all testified of this glory. So here you have Peter, James, and John. They're on a mountain of transfiguration. Christ appears, and they beheld something they have never seen before. They said his face was as white as the snow. His raiment was, there could be nothing else on the face of this earth that could be so white and so pure. Luke records that his raiment was glistering. Can you imagine just glistering, glistering? What they beheld that day, I remember, said he began to teach them that he must be killed and on the third day rise again. Now Luke records that they didn't come off of that mountain till the next day. Matthew does not record that. Mark does not record that. Luke records that they saw him transfigured, and they asked them kind of crazy questions. They were in the midst of a cloud. Picture this, image this, and the cloud said, "This is my beloved son," according to Matthew, "in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." But Luke records that they didn't come off of that mountain till the next day. So they were having dialogue. Jesus said, "What you've seen in this vision, what you've seen, do not repeat till I am raised again from the dead." That was the instruction of Jesus Christ to Peter, James, and John. What you've seen, do not repeat till I rise again. They said in Luke that they saw his glory. This is changing me, I'm telling you. There's an image inside of me. When they were up on that mountain and he was transfigured before them, the Bible says that his raiment was glistering. What a sight, man. And that his face was as bright as the sun, and that his raiment was as white as, it couldn't be no whiter. They beheld something that changed their life. What they beheld, what they saw on that mountain, was what later would be inside of them, which is that born-again spirit, which is the nature of God. They knew that. Peter wrote about it in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, "We are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation." Mark recorded, "There be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the power of his kingdom." The word power he used. They beheld on the mountain this glory that they could see that they had never seen before, so I think. And this glory, which there's no doubt in my mind that it is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ that we have inside of us. But this is the amazing thing. This is where me and you, we have no excuse. You know what? Let me personalize it. I have no excuse. Let me keep your face out of this. Let me judge myself in your midst. I have no excuse. Because what they saw in Christ, they saw it in his humanity. As a human being, they beheld his glory. First Peter talked about the glory that they beheld. With the spirit of glory and of God, it rests upon you. Paul said in Romans 6, As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So here they go. At the time, they didn't know what it was. He said, but what you've seen, say nothing about it till I am risen from the dead. And boy, did they write about it. So they beheld this man with his raiment was glistering. His raiment was glistering. His face was as the sun. His raiment was as white as nothing could ever make it as white. You know one good thing about what I'm going through in this time in my life, to those that hear these messages, I'm pointing at my eyes because for a season, something's come upon my eyes. But no matter what I can't see, you know what I can see? Light. Swallow that for a little bit. No matter how much of your face I can't see, I can see them lights. And that's enough to remind me every single day. Every day I'm reminded that my God is light. Even in this circumstance that I'm in, I can't see one face right now, but I do see light bulbs. That's enough to remind me every single day of what lives inside of me, which is the nature of the Father. They beheld this man. A glory cloud comes down. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, we know what John said in 1 John chapter 3. What pleases God is for a man or woman to keep the commandments of God. That pleases God. He said, this is my beloved Son, born of me, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. They beheld that glory. So what you see, you don't talk about till the Son of Man is risen from the dead. They beheld the glory of God. They knew all that Christ taught them in those gospels for 3.5 years. All that he taught them was brought back to their remembrance at the moment they got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Everything that he taught them, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, they remembered what he taught. I believe in a moment's time, because they walked right into revival, right into it. 53 days from the day, from the foot washing service or from the crucifixion, to the day of Pentecost. It'll be 53 to 55 days, according to a friend of mine. Didn't do a 40-day fast. No 40-day fast was done. Do we need to fast? Yes, absolutely. I'm not coming against fasting, but they didn't have time to do a 40-day fast. They were too scared at the time to do a fast. They were hiding from the Jews. Here we go. Say, behold this glory, the glory that lives inside of me. The moment we got born again, the Holy Spirit breathed the life of God, and his life became our what? Our light. The life of God became our light. What they saw in Jesus was, I just told you that me and you were quickened. We said yes to Jesus. We received the life of God, which became our what? Yes, Jesus, you are the Messiah. Instantaneously, the Holy Spirit breathes the breath of life into us. We receive the life of God, and it becomes our what? Our light. Jesus, in his humanity, had the life of God in him, which was his light. You with me? In his humanity. So according to what I just taught you, what I just told you, they beheld, would it be safe to say that they beheld a light? They beheld a light. But this light, this light, the glory of God, I'm judging myself, puts me in a place I am so accountable now, because I'm grasping the image of what's there. I can see when I'm walking in life, when I'm dealing with a situation, I can see that light shining inside of me saying, this is what you live out of, boy. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because I want to give you the good stuff. They beheld the life of God, which was the light of Jesus. We got the life of God in us, which is the light of God. We live by that light. But here on this day, in the mountain, scared, sleeping, waking up, wanting to build three tabernacles. He had no clue what he was saying. A voice comes out of this cloud. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. My God, what is this? The cloud lifts. They look around. There's but one man there. And his name is Jesus. So the beloved son, and whom God was well pleased in, who he said, hear ye him, was obviously Jesus. He was the only one there that was a beloved, because Peter, James, and John were not yet born again. So they're there. I'm redundant on purpose. You know that. You know how I teach already. They're looking at this man. They see a light. This is the part that I grasped the other day. Jesus had raiment on, which is what? Clothes. He had clothes. This is my lesson. My lesson. If you can learn from this, then so be it. I am judging myself. If you want to judge yourself according to what I'm going to teach you, that's up to you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to judge myself. This lesson, this assimilation, this meditation has helped change my life. We all have a spirit, man. Amen. Lives inside of us. His life became our light. Christ had life in him, which was his light in his humanity. They saw the glory of God. His raiment was glistering. His face was as the sun. His raiment was as something as white that could not be so pure. They beheld something incredible. Through his raiment covered his body. I'm going slow so you can catch this image. Put yourself on the mountain. Picture Kathy there. Picture Rosie there. Picture Gay there. Picture Marty there. Picture yourself there. Tracy, picture yourself there. They saw this glory, the glory that was the life of God, that was going to quicken him from death into life as he would be crucified, the same glory that quickened me and you, that made us sons of the kingdom. They saw this glory in a human being, and that glory went through his raiment. Through his clothing. Picture this. You got to picture this. Put yourself there, Harry. Put yourself there. They beheld this glory going through his raiment, through his clothes. This is what the Holy Ghost is showing me. They saw the life, the light of God, the glory of God passing through his raiment. Listen to this, Ms. Gay. Listen to this. Passing through his raiment. The glory of God passing through his raiment. But what stood between that spirit man and the raiment? His what? Or his what? His flesh. His flesh stood between his spirit man and his raiment. You got to capture this now. His flesh stood between his spirit man and his raiment. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, what did he do, God, that made you so happy with him? What pleased you about this man, Jesus? He lived his life out of the light, the flesh. Could not smother, or the flesh of Christ could not smother or distinguish the light that Jesus Christ walked in, because he never once disobeyed the commandment of the Father. We could see his glory through his flesh. Then through his flesh, then through his raiment. Can society see the glory of God inside of me and you on how we conduct ourselves? Can they see or feel the glory of God through me and you? They saw it in him. In his humanity, the glory of God was manifested through his flesh and through his raiment. And they saw the glory of God. That's probably not going to happen to me and you. But that doesn't mean that we still can't be a city that is set on a hill. Matthew 5. Are you with me? Matthew 5. He's on the mountain. No one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. No one lights it. We're paralleling the teachings on the mountain. No one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. No one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. Now, is he saying that the candle is not lit that goes under a bushel? Or he said no one lights it and puts it under a bushel? Is the candle lit that's going under a bushel? It's lit. No one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. What they saw in Christ through his flesh and through his raiment was 100% obedience. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God, are you saying that Jesus always lived his life out of that light? That's what I'm saying. And if he did it in his humanity, his flesh didn't distinguish the light that he was. That flesh did not put it out. He never once lit that candle and put it underneath the bed, my friend. He never allowed a bushel to smother that light that was inside of him. The cross couldn't do it. The Pharisees couldn't do it. Nothing could cause Jesus Christ to succumb and to give himself to the appetites of the flesh. Nothing could. Not the death of John the Baptist. Nothing could cause him to walk in the flesh. It's a constant daily decision that he made every single day, every moment, to never leave what he was. And that was, he had the light of God in him and never left the commandment of God. The glory of God was seen through Christ's flesh, through his raiment. He said, no one lights a candle and puts it under a bed. That's Mark 4. Why light a candle and put it under a bed? It will be smothered. But you light a candle to put it on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. He said, let your light, Kevin. Let your light, Homer. Homer, I know you can't see right now. And I know you're believing my word to see. You have no excuse, boy, to put that light underneath a bed. Because my spirit man's not blind. I don't care if my wife leaves me tomorrow. This light, it does not go under a bed. I stand up, I march forward, and that light is set on the candlestick. And even if she leaves me, it doesn't matter. I do not waver from the love and the light that lives inside of me. I let that candle burn. I let it burn. I let it burn so everyone can see that my flesh is not my daddy. And if it's not my daddy, it is not your daddy. I'm not born again to be dominated by the body of sin. I am not born again to let circumstances defeat me. My candle has been lit to shine. I could never stand homosexuals. I despise Muslims. There is not a homosexual in the world right now that I can't hug and tell him about Jesus. And there's a love in my heart for the Muslims. I know what they're about. I know they want us dead. I know that. Does that mean they don't have to be evangelized? I wouldn't doubt if I don't end up over there one day in Afghanistan. That's my heart's desire. I haven't told you that. That's my desire, to evangelize the Muslim. Well, Brother Homer, you know what they're about? Yes, I know what they're about, but I know what Jesus is about too. So what if I go and something happens? So what? All them hours and tongues is birthing that inside of me. I haven't always felt like this. I know what they're about. I know they despise our culture. I know that. And I know certain people, and they don't want refugees to come over here. And I got there's pros and cons there. But I'm not going to tell a three-year-old baby that he can't come eat in the United States. I'm not going to do that. And neither would Jesus. He's not going to tell a woman that's being raped over and over again that wants to come to the state for a better life that she can't come to our country. I'm sorry. I can't agree with your doctrine if you believe that. Do I believe there should be vetting? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But there's no partiality in Christ. None. None. And you can't find a New Testament teaching that says different. You can go to the Old and find it. But guess what? The fulfillment of the law is here. Jesus Christ. So what they saw was the same glory that lives in us, that lives in Jesus. And that glory was seen through his flesh, through his raiment. They saw what would later live in them, Mr. Ralph. Jesus said, no one lights a candle, puts it under a bushel. Mark forces are under a bed. But you light a candle to put it on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. So Robert, let your light. Notice he said, let your light so shine before men. Robert, that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 6, 7 was absolutely prophetic. Prophetic teaching. Circumstances should not be able to move us from his glory. That's why nobody wants what we have. Because circumstances, the flesh, has become our daddy, and it is distinguishing the light inside of me and you. We are putting it under a bed. We do things in the church that unbelievers do. That's sad, man. I'm not going to go into detail. Our candles are lit, but we are putting that candlestick underneath a bed. We're allowing our flesh to dictate, it's smothering the glory of God inside of me and you. It's smothering it because we allow our flesh to dictate me and you. We say what we want to say. We do what we want to do. It is a pet peeve of mine to a T. Maybe I need to get over it. But as my wife reads certain Facebook posts to me, it irks me to know Christians that are 1 week on and 1 week off will post on Facebook like they are raising the dead. They got an audience. People that post that stuff, they have an audience. And people know their inconsistencies, and people know what they quote. They're teaching their audience that it's okay to be an inconsistent believer. The last years I've had two guys argue with me about the scriptures, and both of them were in cohabitation. And they wanted to argue the Holy Scriptures with me, having a live-in girlfriend. Something is wrong with that. And it has become the norm. What they saw through his flesh and through his raiment If me and you can grasp 5, 6, and 7, the first major teaching, no, I shouldn't say major, the first teaching recorded by Christ is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You want the glory of God to be seen through your flesh? Grab a hold of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Over and over and over and over again. And what I'm teaching you, you will see it. You will see it. You have to be dogmatic sometimes. If you got a problem and you come in with that problem, I'm going to tell you where to hibernate. I'm going to tell you where to camp. Don't leave it till the problem goes away, man. I've gone through certain scriptures hundreds of times. Why? Because I had an issue in my life and I wanted it to go. My mind had to be renewed. Stay there. Don't abort. Cowards abort. We're not cowards here. We're taught truth. And more than that, we have truth in us through the unction. We're his beloved sons too. Can he say, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? Hear ye him. Could God make that statement about me and you? This is Homer, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Could he say that about me to 3,000 Muslims? Could he say that? Or do we rephrase it and say, I am his beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye me, him, hear me, boasting about yourself. We say that a lot without even saying it. I am his beloved son. Hear, he's well pleased with me. Hear ye me. We laugh. We might not preach it, but we sure the heck live it. No matter how dark it is, Miss Gay, outside. No matter how dark it is, I'm reminded as I walk in the night. No matter how dark it is right now, nothing can distinguish that light. And I'm reminded daily that light that I see, those 5 or 6 light bulbs there, that's what lives inside of me, and that's what I live out of. The ideology, the rhetoric, the persuasive speech, the logic from my flesh is irrelevant to me. Irrelevant. The flesh opposes our spirit, man. In closing, this is good stuff for what? You walk. If you walk, Miss Gay. If you walk, Miss Gay. If you walk, Miss Gay, you see your hands, you see your feet. Look in the mirror, Miss Gay, you see your face. That flesh that you see, that is not who you are. Underneath that flesh is the glory of God that quickened me and you from spiritual death to spiritual life, Miss Gay. That's what we live out of. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Our spirit man, out of that spirit man is a flood of holiness and righteousness that is never ceasing. They beheld the glory of God through his flesh and through his raiment unto death. We can't be seasonal believers or situational believers. There's a person here I got a lot of respect for, and that's Kevin White. I got a lot of respect for him. A lot of respect for him. I'm not going to go into detail, but he is a very honest young man. Very honest with me. Very honest. I can respect honesty, but I despise hypocrisy. I don't despise the hypocrite, but I despise hypocrisy. That's what I was for a long time. No one lights a candle, Miss Kathy, Miss Rosie. No one lights a candle, puts it underneath a bushel. But a candle is Lit, Alex, Kevin, put on a candlestick so that everyone in darkness that's spiritually dead may see the works of a son of God. You are the light of this world, a city set on a hill. It cannot be hid. Isn't it amazing? Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was written as Christ taught on a mountain. And when he was transfigured before them, that was also on a mountain. That city, it was not hid. Let God's glory so radiate in your life that the flesh knows that it'll come every day, every moment to resist righteousness, but it does not have dominion over you. Let the world know that you belong to Jesus, not by how you articulate. We've done a great job articulating and quoting scripture. Great job. But under pressure, the real me and you comes out. Under pressure, when somebody presses that itsy bitsy button, the real me and you comes out. But you know what? The real me and you is that we are spiritual creatures. We just allow our flesh to get the best of us. We allow a dead operation to be a dictator. We put the candle under the bed. We do it. And I don't care what you say. I don't care what they've done. You do not have the spiritual right to live in the flesh or to obey the lust of the flesh or the body of sin. You don't have a right. If you think you have a right, you are missing the writings and the principles of the kingdom of the Almighty God. If anybody had a right, it'd be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he hung on to that confession. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed to him who judges righteously, whose own self bear our sins in his body, by whose stripes we have been healed. I have no excuse. I have no excuse. I'm not born again so that this candle inside of me can be put under a bed. I stand tall, or I desire to stand tall and strong in every single situation. If I'm facing death, I do not sell my testimony. I stand there to the end, marching forward, keeping my mountain. We march. Our testimony cannot be for sale. You're born again to bear fruit. You want your light to shine like a city set on a hill? Read the first part of Matthew chapter 5. Love ye your enemies. Isn't it funny how Jesus said, love ye your enemies? Isn't it funny how he said that in his first teaching recorded? He said, don't just salute your friends or your neighbors. He said, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they do that. You know what? The law teaches you how to love somebody that's being good to you. The law taught you that. Did you grasp that? The law taught me how to be nice to Harry. Taught me to be nice to him. He's my neighbor. The law taught me as a Jew how to be nice to Harry. The law never taught me how to be nice to a Gentile. Now, Jesus said, under this new dispensation, boy, there's a new sheriff in town. The nature of God lives in you. You have no more enemies. You are not a victim. Your candle has been lit. Don't put it under a bed. Put it on a candlestick so all may see your obedience in me. So when you stand firm before me in that last day, I can look at you and say, Julio, Ralph, I am well pleased. Catch this image in closing number two. Inside of you is the glory, the life, the light of God. You are a spiritual creature. When you walk, there's light inside of you. We live out of that light. Not by the emotions, the persuasive speech, the logic of the flesh. It's been so sensitive with me, I can't even sort of even exaggerate anymore. If I do find myself exaggerating, let me break it down. If I find myself lying, I just said exaggerate to make me feel better about myself. I have to go back. That's the first thing that leads a believer when he's born again, because the spirit of truth now lives inside of us. On this walk, he wants it all. He wants it all. No one, Mr. Marty, lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. Meaning, don't let your flesh distinguish your light. Don't let the operation of the flesh keep you from obeying the commandments of God. Death, poverty, persecution, imprisonments, trials, tribulations, diverse temptations, fiery trial, infirmities, afflictions. In our spirit, there is no clause that says we can retaliate. That clause lies in our flesh. But be of good cheer. You don't live in the flesh. Unfortunately, we wear it though. In James chapter 3, chapter 4, he says, you adulterer and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world makes you an enemy of God? Meaning, you're born again. You're living your life in the flesh, you little adulterer, you. You know what's right, but yet you're giving yourself to the world by obeying your flesh. So you'll never receive nothing from the Father. You're double-minded, receiving nothing of the Lord. We stand firm in adversity. What if you never see again, Homer? Well, if I'm 87 years old, I'm about to go home. And you gather around me. Miss Gay says, Homer, how's your eyesight? Oh, Miss Gay, the Bible says I'm healed. Let me go home trying to believe God's word, Miss Gay. Let me go home doing that. Let me go home an idiot in the eyes of Christianity or religion. Let me go home talking crazy. Let me be the dummy. Let me be the dummy. I'm being sarcastic. Let me be the dummy. Let me believe that the Lord wants me to go evangelize a Muslim in Afghanistan or Iraq. Let me be that dummy. Trust me, nobody in their right mind wants to go evangelize a Muslim in Afghanistan. But my prayer is this. Not my will be done. And I've had this talk with my wife and we cried. But your will, Lord. All I do, Miss Kay, is I come in the morning. I drink my Dunkin' Donuts coffee with French vanilla. I'll sit there, Miss Gay. Why, Miss Gay? I have no idea. And I pray in the spirit. And he changes my format. He changes my mind. He puts in me what he wants me to do for him. My agendas are fading far away from me. I'm done in 5 minutes for real. I had a job 2 years ago that was going to bring a lot of stability to me and my wife. We had plans. You're not going to work no more, baby. We're going to have lunch together. A lot of stability, baby. We're looking at new cars, too. 2 weeks later, bam! Company I worked for was great with me. Oh, they treated me great. They waited as long as they could. Because I kept saying, hey, hold on. I'm going to get it back. It's been 2 years. I'm still going to get it back. I say this. There's no new car. The stability is not there in the natural. But my God, in the spirit, I haven't missed one mortgage. I haven't missed any groceries. And my love for my queen is growing more and more and more every single day. And my love for you is growing more and more and more every day. I'm rich, man. I'm rich. I have made it in life. I have made it in life. And if I go to another country, that's where he wants me, then so be it. I go. I am not scared at all. I am not scared. Hopefully, I'm in the flesh regarding this, and I'm missing it. You know what I mean? Hopefully I'm missing this. I'm in the flesh when I feel he wants me to minister to them. Hopefully I'm missing it. Oh God. I'm not. Because I cry and I weep. I cry and I weep. I think about my kids and my wife. But then I think about the millions that are lost, dying without Jesus. That means more to me than anything now. We're not born again to smother that light. To allow our flesh to smother it. We're born again so the whole world may know that we belong to Jesus. Amen. Did you have a good time? Catch that image. Matthew chapter 16 and 17. Mark 8 and 9 and Luke 9. The mountain of transfiguration. Matthew 16 and 17, Mark 8 and 9, and Luke 9. And Matthew 5, 6 and 7, Matthew 5 will really come to life to you. And if you get real brave, tie in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and 1 John, the guys that wrote those epistles were there on the mountain. You'll see the parallel. You'll see it. There's a lot of you also that are going to be called to different things than what you see right now. You have to come with me or take your own country or carry your cross somewhere else. We're not here just to sit here. I know I got work to do in Texas. I know I do. God puts his desires in our heart. And all we do is just pray and try our very best to obey and to love each other, to please God the Father. So we march, Mr. Kevin White, we march. We march. We stand on this mountain and we die defending it. We die, Alex, defending it. Prosperity. Fame, fortune, sickness, trials. We're not moved. And if you are moved, you get under the blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That's all. And you keep soldiering. Like the Navy SEALs. before they go into battle, they've already concluded that they're dead. Oh, I like that, Miss Gay. I'm dead before I go into battle. Those are the real heroes in my life. Before they go into battle, before they drop down in Afghanistan and they took care of some business a couple years ago, they knew they were dead already. If you know you're dead to the world already, there's no fear in you because you're dead already. Are you there yet? I don't know. But I'm marching there. March with me. Listen to Pastor Bronk. Love Pastor Bronk. And love your brothers and sisters. You can't just love Pastor Bronk and detest the body. You're ignorant if you think that's the case. How you love Pastor Bronk is how you love the least insignificant to you in the body of Christ. There is no partiality in that spiritual DNA. Amen, Marley. Marley's my friend. Stand with me, please. So when you see a light bulb, what's it going to remind you of? Oh, that reminds you of me, doesn't it? That light bulb is going to remind you that's what you live out of. Amen? Father, from tears to crying to eating now. Hallelujah. Miss Barbara, do we keep marching, Miss Barbara? Did she say yes? You got to say it loud with authority. Miss Barbara, do we keep marching, Miss Barbara?
Yes.
All right, yes. Renee, we keep going?
Yes, sir.
Ralph?
Amen.
All right, everybody else, we keep going?
Amen.
Julio, we keep going?
Yes.
Father, we bless you. We praise you, Father, and you found a group here. You have found a remnant, Father, that we just won't quit. We won't quit, Father, because we love you. We worship you. We praise you and we thank you for Sunday night. Sunday morning, we hear our pastor and he comes back. Father, I thank you. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised in this outpouring, Father. And to you is all the glory. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
God bless you. Love you.